listening to Fox Sports Radio.
I got to tell you, Jonas, your take on Le'Veon Bell, one of the most interesting that I've heard. I mean, I'm not going to say it was a huge surprise, but wow. Share it with the audience. And oh, by the way, I'm not even going to put a ticking clock on you.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Take as long as you need.
Okay, good. I'll go ahead and relax here.
But actually, if I feel like you're going a little long, I'll start playing it.
Okay, I got you. That's a fair trade-off. here's how I look at it. If you talk to any player who's ever negotiated a contract with a team, the one thing they'll always tell you is that a team will find whatever they can find to try and get the price to discount a little bit. If they can get the price down to their liking, they're going to use anything they can possibly use, whether it's trouble off the field or whatever. They're going to bring that up in conversation. Le'Veon Bell still is not signed. And there's a lot of guys that have been signed and a lot of money has been out there. You've seen teams who were expected to be in the Le'Veon Bell sweepstakes, like the Ravens, who have gone in other directions like Mark Ingram. I think what's happening here is that teams are using Todd Gurley as the example. A guy at the same position, a guy who's had a heavy workload, a guy who's gotten a lot of touches. And
so
now,
let's look at the numbers here, pregame.com research. Gurley, age 24, if you count his carries, he has 1,042. Mm-hmm. Bell, age 27, 1,229. So, I mean, literally we're looking at less than 200 different Gurley with almost as many carries as Bell.
Yeah, and they've both had injury concerns, and now you've got Gurley with the arthritic knee that we talked about that we couldn't figure out why he wasn't more of a topic at Super Bowl week. I think teams are looking at that as a cautionary tale of why they don't want to empty the vault for a running back, especially a guy with off-field issues, a guy who you wonder about his commitment because he's making rap albums, and also a guy who's dealt with injury issues like Todd Gurley has, who is now injured himself.
Okay, so I love the take, but the question is, are the teams wrong? Meaning, I think you're right. There's been a general reevaluation of the value of running backs in the last, 7-8 years, Brad?
Absolutely. Last 7-8 years, as the NFL's gone more passing attack, yeah, the thought process is you can find a decent back in the third, fourth, fifth round of the draft.
And we see it all. I mean, listen, we keep laughing about it, but the Rams' main running back,
C.J. Anderson,
was on the couch. And I'm not talking about a psychiatrist. I'm talking about eating Pringles. So, to me, even Le'Veon Bell, as a Steelers fan, I would tell you was taken in the second round, right? So, that's sort of a high pick, but the idea of paying running backs big money or spending big money on them or paying them big money or high draft choices might be the way to say it. I think both have fallen out of favor.
Absolutely.
But Gurley, his contract, in a way, was old school. Friend of the show, Mike Lombardi, said, listen, the Rams, if they have to pay anybody, they got to pay Gurley. He's, and again, I don't understand X's and O's like a Mike Lombardi, where he's saying Gurley doing what Gurley does is what allows Goff to be a competent quarterback. That was Lombardi's thought. So I think what happened was, they went old school, the Rams, paid Gurley, and now even though it looked like a perfect situation where this might be the most valuable back to his team, it still doesn't look like it's going to work out. So that can't be nothing other than negative for Le'Veon Bell. And I also think that it's almost impossible he'll make up the $15 million that he sat out with.
He'd be lucky to get that in this upcoming season. They're talking 11, 12 million.
That's what I heard. Yeah. We're with Brad Powers, straight out of Vegas. I'm RJ Bell. Jonas Knox with a nice take on Le'Veon. So, yes, I think they're using Gurley against Bell, but I think it might be justified. I don't know if there's an exception to the new rule of undervaluing running backs. Zeke is the only other one you could make the case. I mean, if we look at the Arizona running back,
David Johnson,
24 months ago was talked about in the same conversation. I mean, and the NFL is getting more physical. The funny thing is, people might say that doesn't sound right. between the tackles, right? There's nothing stopping between the tackles, any rules. I get wide receivers aren't getting hit the same, but the physical total, just run the ball in third and two, is bigger, more intense, that the physical toll than it's ever been. You know, let's think about it. Who's the best running? Who's an elite running back that's old? Or who's the oldest elite running back?
Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, he's but not Adrian Peterson now, is but... not elite.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but yeah, Jim Thorpe. No. Yeah. We're talking about today.
There isn't one.
I mean, but who's the oldest? Is Le'Veon Bell the oldest?
He's the oldest.
Is there anyone older than 27 in the NFL that's an elite running back?
No, I can't.
So you're going to sign him to the big contract when he's reaching the point where he's the senior of all running backs that are good? And let's be honest, the rumors are weight gain.
Mm.
So I got to tell you, I think it's going to be a disappointing contract for Bell, and I think it's going to be a strong statement that the NFL is, that Gurley was the exception that really proves the rule, that even Gurley couldn't make the exception work. Any last thoughts, Jonas?
No, I mean, I do think that this is something to note. His agent represents the top two running backs on the market, Le'Veon Bell and Tevin Coleman. Tevin Coleman is an all-purpose back who backed up Devontae Freeman in Atlanta.
What percentage of our audience do you think knows about this guy?
I would say a significant amount. They should know about him. He's a good player, really good player.
But I guess what I'm saying is the idea that the conversation is Le'Veon Bell and this fellow shows you that there's not many running backs that really move the needle at this point.
Well, if they're both represented by the same agent and they're the top two running backs on the market and neither one of them is signed, I wonder how much the agent is kind of playing on both sides. You know, using one to maybe up the price of the other. Because the fact that neither one of them is signed is
all right, last question. We got a break. Last question. Over, under, first year amount for Le'Veon Bell?
Contract?
Yes.
Okay. You want to set it at $12.5 million?
I want you to set the number,
okay,
Jonas.
Okay, I'll set it at $12.5 million.
I'm going under.
Under.
Oh, I wish I could press the green button on Jonas, but if we did, he'd quit the job. Because, I mean, eventually he'd be
broke.
Under.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. On Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Russell Westbrook, who last night had an incident with a fan in Utah. Westbrook, a back-and-forth heated, vulgar language was used, and since then, the NBA has announced a short time ago, Westbrook will be fined $25,000 by the league, and the fan, the Utah Jazz fan, has been banned from attending Jazz games at the arena moving forward.
So, Jonas, I consider you sincerely to be one of the best in the business when it comes to taking a story. And if I say in the production meeting, give me a 10-second intro, you find the right 10 seconds. If I say 20 seconds, you find the right 20, those additional 10. What happened? Like, have you read enough that you can give me a 45-second breakdown of what happened?
Yeah, so Westbrook has had an issue with Jazz fans before. They are known to be a fan base that will get after players. There's been some stuff out there from other NBA players that have said that racial slurs have been used, that they've heard that in the arena. And Westbrook was engaging in a back and forth with a fan. He thought that the fan had said something like, ice your knees or get back down on your knees like you're used to. And he took that to have some racial connotations. And so
you think that one was racial?
That's what Westbrook
said.
Or
more homophobic?
I would have thought the other, but Westbrook thought that it was more of a racial connotation that was being kind of thrown at him. And so they had the back and forth. Westbrook said, and I quote, I'll bleep you up and your wife too. You know, I swear on everything I love. yada, yada, yada. They go back. The fan denies it. He says, I'm trying to say something else. I was telling him to ice his knees. I didn't tell him to get on his knees. And then people after the game went on to Twitter, looked up the fan's Twitter account, found some stuff that he had said about Russell Westbrook on his Twitter timeline years ago. And since then, the fan has deleted his Twitter account completely, and now he's banned from Jazz games.
Well, listen, one thing I can tell you that I know for sure is I'm no fan. I'm no fan at all of curse words or such. Let's do something different. We've never done this before. We're going to do hot take graffiti. Now, we've got a dedicated listenership on Straight Out of Vegas. Why? Because once you see how much information you're getting, it's like, well, why wouldn't I listen? Especially if you bet, though about half our guys bet, half don't. You may remember pick graffiti. So what's the theory? Is that callers aren't that great. Or you'd have your own show, let's be honest. But in small doses. You know that Uncle Brad that could had that one joke that was funny? He wasn't going on tour.
Yeah.
But that one joke was funny.
Yep.
Show him the nickel behind the ear, Uncle Fred, you know. All right. So what we're going to do, now Jonas, again, is dictating this. We're going to take from 0 to 3 hot take graffiti takes, and we'll come up with, how are we going to do it? So it was pick graffiti, so we'll call it hot take graffiti. Why graffiti? Because it's short. It's like if you got 7 words you can put on a wall, what are those 7? But we're going to give you 30 seconds. All right, now here's the truth of it. At 23, you're going to hear Jonas go 7 seconds. And literally at 30, I don't care if you're giving us your PIN number to your credit card. We are cutting you at 30.
Yep.
And we may not take any callers. So here's the question. What should the NBA do with Russell Westbrook and why? All right, here's the way you call. 877-99 on Fox. Or, same number, just with all the numbers, 877-996-6369. That wasn't very good. Jonas, you do that better than me. Do that one.
877-99 on Fox, 877-996-6369.
Yeah, see, you kept it in 334. That's what I need to do. I've learned it now.
It's all
so
right.
So really, at this point, I've learned everything I need to know from you.
That's it. That's it. I'm going to kick my feet up. I'm good.
All right, so if you got to take 877-996-6369, you're going to have 30 seconds on Westbrook. Brad, we'll start with you. What do you think?
You know, I'm not for a suspension. I understand the fine, although, you know, $25,000 is a lot for most people in the country. It's not going to be nothing for Russell Westbrook. You know, I'm more on the Collins side. He was mentioning there might be something, you know, wrong with Russell Westbrook. He's been very combustible here. This is multiple times. This is stuff like this has happened in the last 365 days. You know, I'm not saying that, for sure that there's something, you know, wrong mentally.
So at this point, I mean, listen, this is one of the reasons Jonas is so tough on Colin. You know, there's actually a rule that a true psychiatrist can't diagnose someone that they don't treat, right? So it's kind of hard to watch on TV. Like, what percentage of the time do we see of Russell Westbrook's actions? Like 1%, 2%? He's on the court.
Yep.
Otherwise, even if you take sleep out, it's a small percentage. I personally think you're on the right track, but kind of the wrong way. I think this is the same thing as the Michael Jordan Hall of Fame speech. Have you guys all seen that?
Yes.
Where like it's like the greatest player of all time, and instead of it being a victory tour, it was like a petty,
yeah,
you know, vendetta kind of driven thing. And in a weird way, that's why he was Michael Jordan. The fact that Tom Brady still, you know, seems to, like, you think Brady would have given up on, is Peyton Manning better than me or not? But, you know, we hear about the texts and all this, and it's a whole, like, these guys You know, they say that literally that the two places that sociopaths are, and, you know, we can all debate what's a sociopath and what's a psychopath, right? It's a spectrum. But let's just use a sociopath to say that they're not killing people necessarily. There's two main places you find them: jail and in the C-suites of big companies. Think about President Trump when he says, oh, that guy, he's great at business. What term does he use? He goes, he's a killer. And really, if you read about, and there's all kind of fun books about, you know, inside Silicon Valley, inside big business, these guys, I mean, they're not killing people usually, but they are as ruthless, as disregarding to anything except what they're doing. You know, for those that watched The Wire, Marlowe, right? It was like the first two seasons, Barksdales were running things. And they were killers, but they weren't psychopaths. And then Marlowe came along and it was like, oh, you think you guys are tough? You should see the way we're going to handle things. And to me, Westbrook seems like the distillation of desire to win, desire to try hard, whatever it is in his mind that's driving him to succeed. He just doesn't have the common sense or Nike behind him as much as Jordan. Jordan knew to do it behind the scenes. You know, when he hit, what was it, Steve Kerr, was it? Or was it Paxson? I can't remember. Well, when he hit the guy, he didn't do it on TV. We just heard stories about it, right? When he was up at 4:30 in the morning betting 10,000 a hand in blackjack, we heard stories about it. Westbrook's doing it on the court. But I guess my question, and we'll go into break and then potentially take some calls when we come back, but my question is, how different is the intensity of Westbrook to Jordan? And is the only difference is Westbrook in this case displayed it in an inappropriate way. Let's not debate, you know, if you're attacking, even if it was just the guy, it's like you're on the court, you're getting paid millions. Part of that ticket price is them heckling you, right? It really is.
Yep.
Right out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.